You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Thursday, I spoke to Lois Cox on her latest book, That's What I Am, Oral Histories of Older Lesbians. So, let's hear it. Earlier this year, you released the book, That's What I Am, Oral Histories of Older Lesbians, which delves into the experiences of 16 Wellington-based women and their experiences navigating their sexualities. You originally interviewed these ladies in the 1990s. What was the original inspiration behind these interviews and the book in itself?
Well, the original inspiration actually was a performance I went to called Mills and Bloody Boone, which was about lesbians and gays in Brighton or somewhere like that. And it was good fun. They took extracts out of oral histories and they put it on as a stage show. And I sat there and loved it. And then I thought, well, why aren't we doing this? So that was the inspiration. And I gathered a couple of other people who were prepared to help me. And we started, and we hoped to get 20, but it's extremely difficult to find 20 people who are willing to, you know, there were women who were over 50 at that time. That was what our definition, that's not my definition of older lesbian now, but it was then. To get 20 people who would tell you their life history is not easy, actually, but I thought we did very well to get 16 in the end.
How were you able to gain the trust of these women to tell you and be so open about their lesbianism?
There was a very vibrant lesbian community in Wellington in the 90s. It was quite extraordinary how much was going on, really. And if you were in the community, even if I didn't know I often didn't know the people, but I'd know friends or friends of friends of them, and we were all doing so similar things, going to dances and balls and parties and dinners and sports events. Well, I didn't go to the sports events, but some of them did. And, it was just a huge amount going on. There was a lesbian library. There's still a lesbian library, actually. It's one of the things that has stayed. It's called Lilac. That wasn't a problem. There were a couple of people we interviewed, and I always wondered why they allowed us, because they were, in spite of the times and in spite of the general thesis of my book is that it got easier later, they were still pretty closet. But they kindly did agree to be interviewed, and it rounded it out. It was really good.
So you mentioned balls and parties. Could you describe to me what existing as a lesbian was like in that time for those of us who weren't there?
By the 90s, as I say, it was very vibrant. There were nightclubs. We had a couple of balls. One of them was in the Wellington Town Hall. There were dances. There was something called over 35 dances, because the other thing was that people thought they didn't want these young singers coming in and getting in the way of their dances. And they were every month. There was the library, and you could be on the board. There were also phone lines if you thought you were lesbian, and ways to come out. There was a women's bookshop that was run by lesbians, and it always had a lot of big notice board with everything that was going on. There was softball, I think it was, softball, and there were even games evenings at one of the lesbian haunts that, you know, instead of just nightclub or a dance or something, you could go along and solemnly play, I don't know, Trivial Pursuits or something. So there was something for everybody, really. It was really cool. Oh, there was a book club, there was a tramping club, and I think that might still exist as well. We used to call it, I was involved with that for a while, it was called the Overland and Cafe Club, because we always ended up at the cafe.
Do you think there's a big difference between how Wellington community, lesbian community ran versus the Auckland lesbian community?
I think it was probably pretty vibrant in Auckland as well. It's just I wasn't here, so I didn't know that. But I think there was a very high percentage of lesbian women in Wellington as well, for the lot of public sector stuff going on there. And if you had to have a degree, the more educated you get, the more likely you are to be lesbian, I think, because you realise it's a much better option. Mind you, it took a lot of us, some of us, a long time to realise that.
You have mentioned that when transcribing interviews, you would often be impatient sometimes with seeing how women were taking so long to realise their sexuality. However, you were over 40 when you realised you were a lesbian. So what was the turning point, or if there was one, for you and other women who finally realised their truth?
Well, I'm sure it happened in different ways, really. For me, it was the romantic. I fell in love with somebody. And I'd had pretty happy marriage, really. It was, you know, companionable and so forth. And I had four children at that stage, so it was a big upheaval. But because it was around the time of the homosexual law reform bill going through and becoming the Act, of course, it was much easier than if I'd discovered 10 years earlier that this was happening. There was just a huge difference when the women's movement of the late 60s, 70s began.
You mentioned something I find really interesting, that there were helplines almost for people who thought that they were a lesbian. Do you think the concept of coming out has changed over time from when you were coming out versus lesbians and queer people coming out now?
I hesitate to say it's easier, because I don't think it's ever easy, actually, because people have got their families to deal with and so forth. But I do think sexuality is seen now by most people as much more fluid. And I think it's probably easier, for example, in secondary schools for some people. There's always homophobic people around, and you might be unfortunate enough to be in one of those communities. But there's also a lot more knowledge of people's sexuality being different and being on a continuum or whatever. So I think it probably is easier than... I mean, most people... I said that I came out during the homosexual law reform. That was late. And so in the book, some of them were bewildered by their feelings in the 50s, but didn't even really come out because they didn't know... They'd never heard the word lesbian. I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, the 50s was... It was quite egalitarian, but it was puritanical as well. There was only one job for women once they grew up. That was being a wife and mother. And it certainly wasn't being lesbian. And people who did have... you know, a lot of the women were coming out at that time, and it was difficult for them because they didn't have a word for it. If they had a sexual affair with a friend or something, they didn't call it lesbianism. They thought it couldn't be lesbianism because everybody knew that lesbians were terrible people. I mean, the Parker Hume case, the murder, probably didn't help either. But a lot of them had never heard of that either.
Would you say that's the reason why a lot of, especially older lesbians, purposely don't use the term lesbian even now and, like, feel icky about it?
It could well be. At least one of my children, most of them are fine, but one of my children still talks about gay. I've been talking about lesbian for years and she still calls it gay. Yeah, it's odd. It's partly a personal thing, I think. But I think at the time that I came out and when the community was being so full of things to do in the 90s in Wellington, people very much used the word lesbian. They were very proud of it. You know, it was kind of an insult that people flung at you and you said it back proudly. Or even dyke, you know, I'm a dyke, yeah.
Going back to what it was like to be a lesbian in those days,
yeah.
As of now, there are no lesbian-specific bars or clubs in New Zealand. Do you think there's a need for lesbian-specific spaces now?
Well, I did talk about this book to some younger lesbians in Wellington in their 20s and 30s, and they were a bit jealous because there's a gay bar where lesbians and gays can go, but they thought they'd like their own space. And I agree with that. I think it is nice to have a lesbian-only space. We used to do that, you know, there were women's conferences early on where some lesbian would stand up and say, you know, such and such space, it's lesbian-only, which was a bit, I don't know, I don't know quite what we were doing, but it was quite nice all the same to feel absolutely relaxed that you were among friends and people who understood you.
So with having lesbian spaces in such a secretive period of time, was it quite difficult to find those spaces?
As I said, I think that was the 60s, 70s feminist revolution that made the difference. And so once that had happened, It wasn't hard to find those spaces because you could just go and get them because you were prepared to be open and say there's a lesbian group and we'll pay you rent for such and such or whatever. But before that, if you wanted to find a lesbian community, say in the 50s, you were probably looking at a drinking place or a sports team that drank, and you wouldn't call it lesbian, but might have been a lot of cricket, for example. There's a lot of lesbians in cricket, but they wouldn't have called themselves lesbians. They'd have called themselves cricketers who always drank at such and such a bar. And it was kind of unspoken, but known. It was kind of weird.
What are you hoping for younger generations to gain from reading this book and knowing about lesbian history?
Well, As I wrote the book and one interview would throw some light on another interview, I began to realise there was a lot of similarity between what happened for women in the 50s, say, and even the early 60s, as opposed to what happened later. I felt that what happened later was a lot easier because it was a lot more liberal. And I'm hoping that that's what people will remember, really, that it's nicer for everybody. And I don't just mean lesbians or gays or whatever. I mean for the whole population, it's better if you've got a liberal regime that allows people to be themselves and make the most of themselves and not have to hide half of themselves all the time. And that's what I'd like people to take away, that's so much better when things are liberal and everybody can be themselves and be their best.
That was Lois Cox on her latest book, That's What I Am, Oral Histories of Older Lesbians.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.